telling you, y'all stay away from me. That's the only time I mean it, okay? Because I don't want to share this with you. As we look at this scripture, and you can see the title of the sermon, Still Growing, The Grace and Limits of Christian Maturity. Sounds strange, doesn't it? The Christian having a limit to our maturity. But as we saw in Paul's scripture, as he was writing, there is a limit to it. He has done many things. He knows the law. He has lived the life. He has preached the gospel. And now he is writing what is now known as one of the epistles. And he says that even if with all of this, I have not attained yet what I am striving for. We only attain what we are striving for when Christ returns. When he makes us new in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this fits perfectly with what I came to be thinking of this week as the maturity circle. And this is what we've been talking about this whole year, what we've worked on as our mission statement, that it's a maturity circle. It has a beginning and it has an end, but it also has life stages, it has growth, it has things that take us back as well. And this is very much exemplified in the maturity level of stage 4, back at 12 o'clock, where you have a massive, very mature tree. Now, this is when we start looking like our Savior, when we start acting like our Savior, thinking like our Savior. So there are things where it helps us move forward because we are acting and thinking and we see God's work in us. And I can tell you that if you look at one of the large oak trees around my house, they're not on my property, but they are on my property because they affect my property. I look out at those trees and they look pretty much the same as when I got here 6 years ago, a little over 6 years ago. But I can tell you in every one of those trees, if you were to measure it properly, there is more growth in 1 year in one of those trees than any of the other stages of trees in their entire lifetime. But we don't see it because we don't recognize a quarter of an inch expansion around the trunk when the trunk is this big. But we can't doubt the fact that growth still happens and continues to happen no matter your age, whether you're measuring your attendance and Bible study reading and prayer life in terms of months or decades. It doesn't matter. Growth is growth. Paul is speaking as a mature believer here. Pardon me. And in this scripture, he holds attention, okay? Not attention, but a tension between two concepts that we think are exclusive, but they are not. He holds confidence and incompletion together in perfect tension. Confidence in what he has received, incompletion in acknowledging that the work is not already done. What is he incomplete in? Well, what's before that comment? In verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Some people think that Christians become Christians so that they can have the easy road, right? Oh, you're just a Christian because you need a crutch. Well, if I can't walk, yes, I need a crutch. If I can't walk, it is not foolishness to pick up a crutch. It's foolishness to say you don't need it. And for us, we need to recognize, for all of our spiritual journey, we have not gotten ourselves anywhere. Too many people in the world think that they have to clean themselves up so they can be accepted. And then what? If you've cleaned yourself up, which you can't do, by the way, if you've cleaned yourself up, what more work is there to do? See, becoming and accepting Christ is not the end result. That's the beginning of a journey. One that you can't even go on until you step into it. We know... You have heard two terms, and Paul used this term freely. He said, we are justified through Christ. What does that mean? That means that we are taken in as though we are acceptable, so that we can begin the journey of Him teaching us to be acceptable. So it is God making us justified. One of the examples I've used is that if you've ever used one of the word processing programs on your computer, there's this thing, you know, it used to be typists, you knew a really good typist when somehow they used words and put it together where almost all the lines lined up on the right, not just on the left, but lined up on the right. But even the best typist can't line everything up properly. None of us can line up our lives properly. But now we've got this thing where we just type, we don't even necessarily have to have paragraphs and all that stuff, and then we just hit this button that says, write justify. What does that mean? It means you meet the mark on the right that has been set out. And even Paul, the author of so many epistles, had to be justified. And he whom God justified, God sanctified. Now, that's a big theological term, and some people, we start to hear theological terms and kind of turn off and say, well, you know, I don't understand that. But let me just, it's just a term so that we understand what's going on. He justified us, accepted us into His kingdom, into His presence, so that we can go on this journey where He is sanctifying us. You know, it sounds similar to saint, doesn't it? Yeah. So that we walk, and now He can work with us, and we have Him as a power in us so that we might progress to be what He has called us to be. Well, why doesn't He just come and boom, change us like that? Well, He does. But the process for us physically is slower until He returns. And then we have the hope of resurrection, what Paul is talking about, what he is looking for. So therefore, he wants to suffer with Christ and also hope for resurrection. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to meet someone for lunch, I'm not hoping that I suffer through the lunch, right? If you're one of those, maybe you need to do some sanctification. Okay, just saying. He normalizes ongoing formation. In other words, he makes it normal for us to go through a growth process as a believer. Here's his point of emphasis. Not that I have already obtained this, but I press on. Not that I'm already there, but I press on. These are marks of maturity. When things don't go well, but you persevere. When you're running the race and you want to quit, but you press on. When you believe so firmly that what God has promised will be, that you press on. That is a mark of maturity. See, there's a limit to our metaphor. Here's your core truth. The overall maturity, being overall mature, does not mean total maturity in every area. I'm coming up, well, actually, I've been a Christian for 50 years now. I know some of you have been there much longer. But for those of us who measure things in decades, I can confidently say to you, and you confidently know about me, we're not there yet. Right? Overall maturity does not mean total maturity in every area. And that's something that the world gets wrong. When I am a Christian and troubles come my way, It doesn't mean that God has abandoned me. It means that there is opportunity for God to show himself in such a way that I would not have known without the trial. Many times the joy of knowing the Lord is in our weakness. Paul said that. In my weakness, he is strong. Many times, whether we were on the road ministering or even in preaching, I haven't felt the best. Today is one of those days. But I have to trust that in my weakness, that God is going to work through me. And I'm not talking about having Christian bravado. Maybe I am supposed to step aside. Maybe I wasn't supposed to preach today. Maybe I wasn't supposed to lead that study. Maybe I wasn't. That's part of my training. Because sometimes Christian maturity is knowing that sometimes God takes things away. I find it interesting that in the scriptures, that when God talks about a living branch, it says that he prunes the branch. And we get the idea that every time that happens, that the branch is pruned, it's because, well, that was a bad thing for the branch. But some places in Scripture, it doesn't say that. It says that the branch is pruned so it can produce more fruit. It's not because the branch is doing something bad, it's because it needs to do better. And that's the gift of our gardener, is to prune from us. I don't know about you, but I like it nice and safe when everything is the same, and then at the same time I get bored and I complain, because everything is the same. If only it would change a little bit, but not with any stress, not without any loss, not without any pain. Boy, that would be the life for me. But it's not life at all. If maturity meant completion, Paul would never have written Philippians chapter 3. If it meant being, having made it, we're there, he never would have written Philippians 3, or for that matter, any of the other New Testament books. Never would. We need to make sure that we don't fall into the trap of making a state of Christian being idealized to the point that we can never attain to it, especially without our Christ. Because when we do, and then when we fail, it is detrimental to us. And it's detrimental to the kingdom of God. We have to factor that in if we are going to be true to the journey that Christ has called us on. Just because I got to visit the cockpit on the airplane doesn't mean I can fly it. There is pruning, there is loss, and there are scars when you are mature. I want us to linger on this phrase. Every branch that does bear fruit, do you hear that? Every branch that does bear fruit, you're already bearing fruit, he prunes. Say it, he prunes. Say it again, he prunes. Now say, he prunes, it's good.
He prunes, it's good.
He prunes, it's good.
He prunes, it's good.
He prunes, it's good for me. Did you find that harder? He prunes, and it's good for me. Pruning is not a response to failure, especially when you have a good gardener who knows and loves the branches. I've already spoken in past sermons about the fact that in the life cycle of a tree, it will face damage from storms, potentially from lightning, from fire, from disease, from years where growth slowed because there was drought or some drain of the energy. It could be from pests that came and ate the leaves or the fruit.
But when you have a large, full, mature tree, you can either look at the scars and say, man, that's been a hard life there, or you can look at the scars and say, that tree survived. Because for every tree that survives and becomes mature, there are hundreds more that did not have that opportunity. Can I tell you, if you have been a believer following Christ's way for many years, perhaps decades, there's a reason that God says the pathway is narrow. Because if we go with our analogy, I'll tell you, if you look, let me go back to the oak tree over on the south side of my house. It drops acorns on our bedroom roof regularly during the fall. And I can go outside my bedroom where it all rolls off, and there are piles of acorns there. Piles of acorns. Each one has the potential to be a tree. But as soon as the snow melts, if I go out there and look, all there are shells of acorns. Because they've been eaten. But come back in the spring and look at my flower and vegetable beds. You would think I was starting a tree farm. Now, there are fewer trees growing than have been eaten. But those same squirrels that ate it are the ones that plant them. Curse you, squirrels, for planting these trees. Oh, no, they're doing that by design. Either way, the tree experiences loss. And you know, sometimes we rub up against each other as mature believers, even. I've got a tree in my front yard, a maple tree. And, you know, a couple of years, well, about 2 years ago, we had big, big winds. You're saying, yeah, we always have big winds. But, I mean, there's a branch off of that maple, about this big, just split right off. It blocked the road all the way across the way. They had to bring in a front loader just to move it off of the road. Big branch. But now I've got a sharp projectile coming up. You say, that was the second biggest branch on that tree. I'm just glad the wind was blowing toward this road, not my house. It's not the prettiest tree. It's uneven now. But it's a tree that survived. This is part of the ongoing detailed work of the Spirit. The Spirit's work in us is comprehensive. It takes care of the whole tree in spite of the loss that we perceive, and in spite of the hurt, and in spite of the scars. It is the Spirit that is taking care of us, and we can have confidence in what the Spirit is doing. That's the difference between a mature tree and one that's just offering shade. To know the gardener who is taking care of us, not just to know the growth that is in him. Sanctification is not just God shaping who we are. It is God continuing to touch where we are still tender. And where we are still hurt. And where we are still needy. C.S. Lewis said, the real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up every morning. The real problem of the Christian life comes where people do not usually look for it. It comes the very moment you wake up every morning. Now that thought should subtly encourage us toward the attitude that not only is this formation going to happen, but it's going to happen every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new when? Every morning. Every morning. Worship team, you can come forward. You're doing a great job, by the way. Blessing us greatly. I want to say a word to our longtime believers, because usually
when you get to be a long-time believer, your faith is still there, your desire is still there, but, you know, the physical fails us, doesn't it? Some of you, many of you, have fewer branches than you once did. Some of you have been pruned more than you understand within the bounds of reason. We understand it in the spiritual, but you know, someone would look and say, why would God do that? What can God do with that? Some of you certainly feel less impressive than you ever were earlier in life. Some of you mourn because you can't do some of the things you used to do. You may not be able to do something actively, but don't forget, one of the gifts of a tree is shade. You may not produce as much fruit as you used to, but you still produce fruit. And you may look down from your branches and you say, I think I've harmed some of those that were under me. When I lost a branch, it knocked another one over. And there was a young sapling who needed sun. I was providing shade. It's not up to you. That's up to the gardener, isn't it? There is a time when just the fact that you are, just the fact that you are present, even here today, is ministry. As we sing, would you please give to the Lord? Your gift of accepting His justification and praising Him for His sanctification. For we will be like Him.